If you want to turn with me in your Bibles to the first Psalm, that'll be our main passage for the day. And in the past, most recently when I've been up here, we've talked about some spiritual disciplines and biblical spirituality. We're going to continue along that vein. Today we're going to discuss meditation in the Bible and how that should apply to the life of the believer. So let's read the first Psalm together and then we'll pray. So, Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, just come before you today and ask that you would join us now to teach us from your word, Lord, how we can meditate on it, how we can live a life in this way that we can be happy and blessed and trust in you in all our ways and trust in you in the truthfulness of your word when we read these things. So help us today and help me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So when we think of meditation, we want to think of it rightly. We want to think of it in a way when we're understanding it that when we're meditating, we want to be contemplating Scripture. We want to be reading it again and again. We want to be memorizing it. And we also want to be praying and applying it to our life. It should involve all of these ideas. Starting with Scripture, starting with the Lord, and hopefully ending with the application of it into our lives. So that's what we would think about when we think about the meditation of the Word from a biblical sense. But then, if you look up meditation from the world, you'll get something different. And anybody can do this. You can look up meditation online. And I did this yesterday. I just looked up a couple different things. And I think I've probably done this in the past before, just to, because we always hear about people meditating. You know, once I went to a Nuggets game and one of the players afterwards, he was talking about how he would meditate before the game, meditate in preparation of the game. He would do this. And I was just thinking, I wonder what he means by that when he talks about meditating before the game. Because everybody in their own mind can come up with their own idea of what this is. But if you look up online, one of the first searches you'd have is that you'd find would be, look, there's a lot of meditation out there. There's, especially in, if you go into Southeast Asia, there's a lot of focus on this meditation. But and when they talk about it, typically they talk about it in a way about understanding your pain, where it comes from, under maybe doing this meditation to lower your stress levels in your life, to be more connected with yourself, to be able to improve your focus, or even to reduce brain chatter. These are some of the items that they have listed on there. So, and the, you know, when we talk about it from a biblical perspective, I'm going to try to intentionally not be very specific in steps that you should take, right? I'm not going to give you a checklist in what you should do, but if you go online and you look this up, people, they can give you a checklist. You should do this, 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 and this. They'll say stuff like this. You want to sit down and focus on your breathing. That's how you start. Focus on your breathing in and out. They'll talk about stuff like this. Focus on breathing in and out. Listen to your body. This is a quote from something I looked up. It's okay if your mind wanders, they say, but you want to gently bring it back. So they'll talk in this way about meditation, right? They'll talk about this. It might be worded differently, but generally this is what they talk about when you look it up online. And you start with maybe 5 minutes doing this, and then as you get a little better, maybe 10 minutes, trying to focus on this meditation to somehow bring you happiness as you're more connected with yourself. So that's what it's about, right? To be happy. You want people to be happy. But look, don't we want that? Don't you want to be happy? I want to be happy. That's a good thing. It's a good thing to be happy. We just want to go about it the right way. Because if you go about it the wrong way, it won't lead to happiness. If you go about this life the wrong way, with the wrong focus, in the end it leads to death and separation from God. That's what we don't want. So, when you have this idea of meditation in the Bible, I think you guys will be familiar with this, but if you just looked up the word meditation or meditate in the Bible, where do you think you would find that the most in the Bible? It's overwhelmingly in one spot in the Bible, right? It's in the Psalms. Again and again and again and again and again, it's in the Psalms. There's a couple other instances when it comes up. There's once in Job, you'll find it. There's once in Joshua, you'll find it. In the New Testament, it's only used one time, that word. Only once. In Luke, when he tells the disciples not to meditate and how they're going to respond, right? When they're brought in, they're going to be questioned. It's the only time it's used in the New Testament. Thought that was odd. It's not, that word specifically is not used in the New Testament. It's not to say it's not there. The same process, the same idea is there. It's worded differently, but it includes the same ideas. Just to give you a couple examples, I thought we'd look at this, but in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, it says this: "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." And this is the idea of meditation. Letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That idea, that's what we're talking about when we're talking about this. Because as we look back in the first Psalm, they're talking about this, the person whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and on this law he meditates day and night. This is the one who's going to be happy, the one who does this. The one, look, if you're delighting in the law of the Lord and you're meditating on it day and night, it's dwelling in you richly. I think that's true. I think this is a true statement. Here's just another example in the New Testament. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, we have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come. Training. So this idea of, look, we always have this idea of training yourself. So how do you train yourself? You train yourself with the Word of God. That's how you're going to be training yourself. You use the Word of God to train and discipline yourself. That's what the focus should be. That's what the focus should be if you want to be happy in this life. If you do that, you'll be happy. And the opposite is also true. If you don't, you won't be happy. This delighting in the law of the Lord, meditating on it day and night. This setting your mind on this idea of meditating on God's law. Because when this was written, they didn't have the Bible as we know it, right? They had the first five chapters. They're talking about just meditating on that and someone would be happy. That would make them happy and blessed if they meditate on that. How much more so for us who have the full, complete Word of God now? To meditate on it. The riches of this Bible that we have. To focus on that. Really, the question is, do you believe what this says? Do you believe that you'll be blessed if you do this? You'll be happy if you do this? That you can delight in the law? Do you believe that? I think you'll see in your life whether or not you believe that when you're challenged in some way. And we'll talk about it a little bit, but you'll see where you stand with that. Setting your mind on this. When it comes up again and again, it's this idea of, I will do this. I will meditate on your law. I'm going to do this. I'm going to set my mind on doing this. Deciding to do that. Having the mindset to do that. The world gives us this idea, and you'll see this too. Once upon a time, I found some video, and it said secret on it. And it was this, there's a DVD out there online you can find, it's the secret to success. And I think primarily it's just about positive thinking. Thinking positive about yourself, that's the secret. That's what they're saying the secret is. But look, there's some truth to that where you look at really good sports teams who like they just have success year after year after year. There's something mental there about how they prepare and how they handle stresses when they come. They're better able to handle stress, right? You'll see the same teams be successful year after year because they handle stress better. They've trained themselves. They've prepared themselves for this, right? And that's for some trophy that only lasts for a year, right? And the next year, somebody else will try to get it. So how much more so when we're seeking a prize that's eternal? How much more so should we train our minds to think about the right things, to be focused on the right things? How much more so for that? So we want to spend some time just considering this. And I want this for me and for you. I want you to consider in your life whether or not you truly believe what we read. That it's going to be, you'll be blessed in this. If you don't walk in the counsel of the wicked, you're not standing with sinners, you're not sitting in the seat of scoffers, but you delight in the law of the Lord. And on this law you meditate day and night. Do you truly believe that? Do you believe that if this is true of you and you meditate on this day and night, that you'll be like the tree planted by the streams of water? You're going to yield your fruit in the season. Your leaf's not going to wither. And in all the things that you do, you'll prosper. Do you believe that? Because there's two sides to this. There's two sides that we see here. There's the first person who walks in the counsel of the wicked. The first person who stands in the way of sinners, sits in the seat of scoffers. It's almost like there's this regression here. You're walking, then you're standing, then you're sitting. The opposite is the one who doesn't do that. When you meditate, if you were to take this passage and meditate it, look, you'll say, I'll be blessed if I don't walk in the counsel of the wicked. If I don't do that, I'll be blessed. If I don't stand in the way of sinners, if I don't sit in the seat of scoffers, if I don't do these things, I'll be blessed. But if I, instead of these things, I delight in the law of the Lord. The opposites. Are you going to walk in the counsel of the wicked, or are you going to walk in the ways of the Lord? Meditate on His law. Are you going to stand with the sinners or with God? You know, I was looking at this and I was just thinking in my life, and maybe you would have experiences like this as well. Like, there comes a point in time when you're with people and you're walking with them, and they're doing things that are, they're wrong. You just know they're wrong, but you're kind of walking along with them, right? You're there and they're doing it, but you're there with them and you're seeing them do it, but you're not leaving. You're just going along with them, right? Then sooner or later, you're slowing down a little bit and you're standing with them and you're getting pulled into it a little bit. And eventually you're sitting there. You're at rest in the wickedness. It's like this at rest. There's comfort there for that person. It's almost this decline in the life of this person who does these things. And of course, when we read that, the opposite of there's the tree that's yielding the fruit. And there's the other tree, the leaf that withers. One doesn't wither, one does. One's blown away, the other isn't. These different pictures here. And it's related to meditating on the law of God, meditating on the Word of God. So what I'm saying here, what I want us to understand here is that the Bible is giving us the recipe for happiness and prosperity. It's giving us this. And it's the Word of God. It's meditating on the Word of God. It's not the secret, as it were, right? It's the Word of God. It's not some special formula. Do A, B, and C. Flip a coin and hope and wish. No, it's the Word of God that you have before you, that you can look at, that your mind can spend time dwelling on, thinking about, focusing on. This is the recipe. This Word of God that we have, that we all have here. We all have access to this. Do we believe that we'll be happy in this? Do we believe that when drought comes, when the hot wind comes blowing in, do we believe that our leaf won't wither in these times? When the difficulty comes, we won't be crushed. We won't be blown away. We won't crack under the pressure. Look, in other words, in this life, you absolutely will come into contact with pain and suffering, heartache, disappointment, struggles. Listen, all manner of difficulty will come into your life. It's going to happen. And if you're walking in the counsel of the wicked, if you're standing in the way of sinners, sitting in the seat of scoffers, when this happens, you will not be able to withstand this onslaught. You won't. You're going to wither. And we've probably all come into some context of this in some way when some person comes into this disappointment and struggle in their life and they eventually kill themselves. They wither. They're blown away. Their delight was not in the law of the Lord. Meditating on that. There's happiness in that. There's prosperity for you and your soul in that. And as I was going through this as well, I was just thinking about, you know, once I was listening to, I don't even know who it was, but he was just talking about the historicity of the Bible, like how accurate the Bible is historically. And he was just saying, it's amazing how accurate, first, the transmission of the verbal word from one generation to another in Israel, how accurate it was from different areas. They're super accurate. But most of the writings, they're always focused on the Word of God, right? It was always the Word of God. They were passing these things on. But if you went in the nations around them, whatever pieces of literature they would find, like, it was just all type of filth that they were writing about. Filth. That's what they were carrying with them. These nations that were just wiped out. No history. But God was keeping His people. He was keeping them. To this day, He keeps His people by His Word. Focusing on the Word. Just the idea, are you going to believe in this truth of taking this time to meditate on it day and night? Focusing on the Word of God. What is your meditation? There's a million things out there you can meditate on. There's a million books that you can focus on and meditate on. But do you believe that there is happiness, satisfaction, prosperity in this Word of God? Meditating on it. Do you believe that? So how does it play itself out in your life? That's the question. And we have in Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 7, we have this. Only be strong and very courageous, being careful to do according to all the law that Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or the left, that you may have good success wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Is the Word of God enough for you? As we read this, do you believe that focusing on this, even if this was the only thing you read and focused on, do you believe that that would lead to a prosperous life for you? Good success for you? Do you believe that? How does that play itself out in your life and how you spend your time and how you entertain yourself? How you train your mind with the things that you read and you focus on? How does that play itself out day to day? When you wake up in the morning, the first fruits of your day, what is it? You have a break during lunch, in the evening. When you're laying in bed at night with only your thoughts, where is your mind going? Because really it boils down to, do you want to be happy or not? If you want to be happy even now, let your mind dwell on these thoughts, these words from God. Let this Word dwell in you richly. Do you trust that? Are you going to hold on to that truth? The opposite is the man who walks in the counsel of the wicked. That's the opposite. Stands in the way of sinners. Look, there's a million people out there who can write things that sound really good, but they don't love the Lord. How much can you rely on that? Someone who's trying to find a solution to something in your life that doesn't end with God and it doesn't start with God. How much can you trust that? I don't know. You got to consider that in your life. But I can say this. if your focus was this word, apart from everything else, I believe wholeheartedly that you would be happy. I do. I believe that this is where we'd find our happiness. We don't want to find ourselves walking with the wicked, watching as others are doing these wicked things and eventually participating in it. Look, you can make your life, I think any major company you'll see this, people who just, their whole focus in their life, their whole focus is on how to advance their career and get better at maybe making a little bit more money. That's what they meditate on day and night, day and night, day and night. But the truth is, even with that, look, eventually you're going to be replaced. The company still goes on and the person, they forget about you. How many people do you see retire and a year later nobody knows? Hey, remember that guy used to work here? That's it. That's the most they'll get in a year. Maybe one recollection from one person about one funny thing they did, and that's it. Their whole focus was on their work, their job, or finding happiness in that somehow, some way. And their life is just blown away. It's nothing at the end. Or you'll see these stories. I've seen this again and again. It just shocks me. These people who, they work their whole life looking forward to retirement, and they retire, and within a year, they're dead. Like, they were just looking. They were hoping for that retirement and the happiness they would have in that. And within a year, I've seen it multiple times, dead in a year. Is there happiness in that? Seeking after worldly things, is there happiness in that? I think if you know the Lord, you've tasted that He's good, you'll know that the world can't satisfy you like the Lord can. And if you're delighting in the law of the Lord, if you delight in that, it's impossible for you to keep this type of company, the counsel of the wicked. It's impossible for you to want to keep the counsel of the wicked, walk with them. It's impossible if you're delighting in the law of the Lord. It's impossible for you to stand with them. You can't stand with the sinners in this way. You can't sit in the seat of scoffers in this way, because you're delighting in the law of the Lord all the time, and you will see the contradictions endlessly about this other way of life. You'll come into contact with it endlessly, again and again and again. But you can be happy still with the Lord. When we delight in these things day and night, you decide, this is what it boils down to. You have to decide. You have to set your mind on meditating on the Word of God day and night. You have to think about that. Look, this is where we have this idea of reading and memorizing the Word of God. Like, you read it in the day, you have light. You're reading at night when it's dark. It's when you have this Word memorized and you can delight in it in your mind and think about it, meditate on it in your mind. Right? That's what we're talking about. It's there with you always. The importance of memorizing the Word of God, reading the Word of God. So, one thing I would say is set your mind on that, on memorizing the Word of God. There's a million things we can create schedules for about, look, I have schedules for how I maintain my car and oil changes. I know when I'm going to do that. I set a schedule on that. But at the same time, will I set a schedule on meditating and memorizing the Word of God daily, even day and night, having a schedule for one day? Do you do that in your life, having a schedule to meditate on the Word of God, setting your mind on these things? You have to decide to do it. You have to set your mind on it. Because if you don't set your mind on it, stuff will come up. It always comes up. There's always distractions that come up. If you don't set your mind on it, it will happen. And the thing is, look, you want to do the things that you delight in. Don't you want to do that? Like, if there's something that you delight in, don't you want to spend time doing that rather than things you don't delight in? Right? If you're delighting in the Word of God, that's something to consider for yourself. Is it something that you delight in so much that you want this to be a part of your daily routine, this meditation, setting aside time to get away from all distractions to meditate on the Word of God? For this to be your delight. How does that play out in your life? And look, this is true as well, and I think you'll have experienced this, but you look at a passage that you're meditating on again and again over time, like you will get more and more out of the same passage as time goes on, right? You'll get that. It's true. You'll see something the first time and understand it, but there's something about the Bible where there's more. There's more there as you meditate on. There's riches there. Look, in Romans it says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments. How inscrutable His ways." We get a taste of this. We get a taste of His ways and who He is when we meditate on His Word. When it's something that you do day and night, you get a taste of this. A taste of the riches that we have in God. The wisdom and knowledge that comes from God. This is only found in His Word. You're not going to find this in an accounting book, a history book, psychology book. It's not there, right? But it's with the Word of God that we have this. And if you haven't experienced that, you're missing out. If you haven't experienced that, meditating on His Word, just tasting, getting a taste of this again and again and again. That's true. Have you experienced it? Do you experience it even daily? Do you want to experience it daily? Is the law of the Lord, is it a delight for you? We've got to consider how we walk our life, how we set our day up to incorporate these things, meditating on the law of the Lord, how we put it into practice in our life. And like I said, I don't want to give you specific steps, but I want you to go to the Word of God and I want you to figure this out with God, spending time with Him, meditating on His Word, committing His Word to memory and meditating on it. Do you believe that it's true that you'll be blessed in this? There'll be happiness in this. And if you haven't experienced that, look, there's nothing better than the Word of God. You'll taste that it's good if you spend time there. And look, as we read in the psalm as well, because we're talking about, there's this idea of the tree that's planted by the water, the streams of water, there's this tree there. Look, when we're meditating on God's law, His Word, there's nourishment there. There's nourishment in the Word of God. There's security there. It's the Word of God. It's meditating on the Word of God. Spending time in it is a thing that allows us, enables us to bear fruit in the season. It's the Word of God that does this. Do you believe that? Look, we want to be people who are fruitful, right? Not just something that sucks up all the nourishment and when the first trial comes, we fade away. There's no fruit in the time that it's called for. We want to be fruitful. And this is how you do it. You meditate on the Word of God. You spend time being nourished by the Word of God, being secure in the Word of God. There's the one who has this type of relationship with the Word of God prospers. Like when we think about the prosperity gospel, this is it, right? The prosperity that comes from meditating on the law of God day and night, having a relationship with Him, being nourished by Him, being fruitful for Him. Being someone who won't wither the first time we're tested and tried and difficulty arises, because it will arise. Having this relationship with Him so we're ready in the day when we're tested. How do you get ready for the test that will come in your life? You meditate on the law of God. Day and night, you spend time in the Word of God. That's how you prepare yourself for this. Because you can, I'm sure there's books out there, you can read books about how to deal with sorrow and pain and suffering. That's well and good until you actually have to go through something, right? Until you actually get hit with the fact that a loved one died. Like we've all experienced that. Someone you love has died. How do you find comfort in that? Because I think the only way when these situations arise that for most people it just rocks them to their core and they fall into some type of depression is that you see these things happening and you, because of your relationship with the Word of God and with God, you know that He's good and you trust Him in the midst of those things. It's the only way to handle these situations. Trusting that God is good. His will for us is good. The difficulty that He brings into our life, it's for our good. I think that's the only way we can handle these things. To be secure when these things happen. Because the opposite is the wicked, they're not like that. But they're blown away when these situations arise. Blown away. They're not secure when the difficulty arises. I think you've seen that too, if not experienced it. Difficulty arising in someone's life and it just destroys them. It destroys them. I listened to a sermon too. This pastor was mentioning he had an uncle and all of his uncle's sons died when they were pretty young, all of them. And he said the last boy that died, after he died, his uncle never said another word. And he died of depression eventually. Never spoke another word after his last son died. Just the security that comes with the Lord just wasn't there. Something came and it blew and it just destroyed him. But I'm saying even in those type of situations when you have this relationship, this nourishment that comes from the Word of God, you can, even in those days, you can cling to the Lord and find comfort in Him. Not be driven away. Not be easily carried away. Not be easily scorched in these situations. Look, the only way to be ready is to have this relationship with the Word of God. Have this type of relationship with the Word of God. Day and night, spending time in it. Let this be the one thing in your day that is uninterruptible, this time with the Lord. That should be the focus. Look, I wanted to go over just a couple scenarios of like how this might play itself out in our life. Not in too much details, but we just think about this. How we've experienced it, but how does this meditation play itself out? How can it be beneficial? And I was thinking about this. I looked up the first one, just talking about working. Look, the Bible has answers about whether or not you should work. It does. It tells you whether or not you should work. So let's say you want to get a job. So you have a desire for a job. So the Bible tells us that people should labor doing honest work with their own hands. So they may have something to share with anyone else in need. The Bible tells us that in Ephesians. And again, the Bible tells us if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat. For we hear that some among you walk in idleness, not busy at work, but busybodies. Now such persons we command and encourage in the Lord Jesus Christ to do their work quietly and to earn their own living. Now see, I think about this because when I was growing up, I wasn't really encouraged to work. I was just encouraged to do my soccer thing. And I guess it worked out going to college and whatnot. But like I had desires to work at time. I kind of want to work, but it wasn't a strong desire. It was only a specific type of job I wanted to do. And if it didn't work out, wasn't going to do anything, right? I wasn't looking at it like, I didn't meditate on these type of things that were saying, look, if I'm not working, maybe I shouldn't eat. And if I'm not working, maybe I can't help somebody out. But I was just thinking about myself and everything didn't work out because really it wasn't the perfect situation for me and everything was focusing on me and how I wanted the perfect situation. And really, when you look at these verses, and what I should have done at the time is looking at these verses and thinking to myself, look, even if I get a job that I don't like, maybe it'll give me some money that I can help somebody else. Like it says in Ephesians, that he may have something to share with anyone in need. Because I didn't have anything to share. I didn't have a job. I had any money. I was just some poor college athlete, right? But the idea here is when you meditate on the Word of God, there's something even in the situation that says, look, sometimes you work, not because you enjoy it, but because you can help somebody else because of it. And then, again, you should work so you can eat. So you're not always putting the pressure on somebody else, right? It's like taking the Word of God, looking at these verses and meditating on them. And part of it is just pride. When do I set aside my pride and do something I don't want to do, right? This is how it kind of works itself out in these things. There's verses here for that say, do these things. Have a good attitude with it and do these things so you can help other people, so you can feed yourself, and also so you're not a busybody. Just one example of how meditating can help you in these situations, right? Because, look, that's who I was. I was idle when I was a kid. I was just idle. I was left to my own devices far too much in high school. All summer, I was just doing nothing but hanging out by myself, getting into trouble. That's who I was. I was this person. But fortunately for me, I had someone who would share with me, and I was able to eat. Then just another situation that comes up, right? When scenario two, if you're so overwhelmed or depressed about something, and I won't spend too much time about this, but look, the idea is, and death is all, it always comes to mind for me. I have one grandparent left. All my other grandparents have died in my life. So these things, they hit you. These disappointments, they will come in your life. They will come in your life. And it's hard to deal with. Even if you don't understand. I remember my grandma died in high school. Even though I didn't understand it, like a couple weeks later, I could see that I was lashing out at people. Like I was just lashing out because it hit me really hard and I didn't understand it. I wasn't grounded in the Lord at the time, but it hit me really hard and it led me to this place where I'm just lashing out at people and I'm starting to get in trouble at school. And so the idea is, even in these situations, whatever the difficulty is, it's like, do I trust that the Word of God can prepare me in these situations to respond to these situations, to these trials, and maybe even redouble my efforts to focus on the Lord when these things arise? Where am I running in these things? Because I guess I'm still waiting for this. Like, I'm not an expert in psychology or whatever, but I just want to, look, we're all going to go through difficulty that we're going to struggle with. And like, there's even depression. I just want to see, even in my life, when this happens, that I just keep going to the Lord again and again and again and again and again. And it's not something where maybe you do it for a week or two and you say it doesn't work. It didn't work. I need something else. That's one option. It didn't work. I just want to see in myself and others that trusting in these things that says, look, there's going to be happiness in this, no matter what the situation, no matter what trial comes in your life. If you focus on this, you'll be prepared and you can be happy in the Lord, even when these things come up. It's not something where, let me meditate on this week, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to try something else. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a day and night thing for the rest of your life. That's what we're talking about. And really, I'm talking about these things primarily for me. I want to be better at this. I am not doing this as I should. I haven't done this as I should in my life. I want to do this in my life more and more. I want more happiness in the Lord that's not dependent upon my circumstances, where I'm just pushed around. I'm tossed around because of circumstance. I don't want that in my life. I want to be secure in the Lord. And for me to do this, I need to meditate on His Word day and night. This is what I want in my life. I want to be this. I want to be secure and be fruitful in the Lord. And this is the only way to do it, to have this type of relationship with the Lord. So I want to see when I go through a trial or a struggle, I want to see myself throwing myself at the Lord day and night again and again and again and again and trusting Him that it'll be a blessing. I'll be happy if I do this. I want to trust in that. I want it to play itself out in my life. And I don't want to be the person who gives up and turns to something else. Because, look, we see that too. People get depressed and they turn to drugs and just next thing you know, their whole life is destroyed. Have we tasted that the Lord is good? That His Word is good? That He is good? And we can have a relationship with Him that will be prosperous for us. We can have this with Him. We can spend time with Him in this way. Making excuses to go to the Lord and not to run away from the Lord. That's what we need in our lives. Let the Lord be the first one we go to, the last one we go to, and in between let us go to Him. Let that be what we do through our struggles. You know, as we talk about these spiritual disciplines as we have, I want us to trust that the Word of God is good and it's true, and we should do these things because He wants us to do these things. He wants us to meditate on His Word. You want to prepare your kids for disappointment, struggle? Teach them to do this. That's the only way to do it, right? Teach them to do this. Teach them to go to the Word of God and show them in your life that you do it. And He secures you in this. They should see that in you. They're going to see you respond to difficulty, to failure, to pain. They'll see that. How do you respond? Can they see that in you your whole trust is in the Lord? Or do they see that it's your trust is in the Lord until something happens and then you go off somewhere else and complain and you're discontent about something else? Like, how does that play out in your life? It's a sobering thing to think about in my life. How does it play out? How secure am I in this daily, day and night? Because we're tested and we will be tested. So my prayer for us and for myself, my family, is that I would take these words of the Lord and believe them. That, look, blessed is the man who avoids the wicked, the sinners, avoiding these things so that they can delight in the law of God. Delight in His Word. Meditate on it. Be secure in that. That's what I want for us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just come before You because there's so many distractions and so many people that say they have all the answers, but really You have all the answers. Your Word has the answers. Help us to set our mind on You. Help us, each one of us individually, to figure this out in our lives and how You want us to meditate on You. How we can do this. How this can be fruitful in our lives. We can have prosperity. We can have happiness in this. Help us to do these things, Lord. Find excuses to run to You. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.